Turn to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. I'm going to preach a couple of sermons probably out of this entire chapter. Maybe we'll just look at the first five verses tonight. Isaiah 64. We'll start with the first verse. Isaiah 64 and verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. He's talking to the Lord now. Open heaven. That thou wouldest come down. Underline those words. Thou wouldest come down. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. To make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things. Let me stop right here. He's talking to the adversaries. It was terrible to the adversaries, but it was great to God's people. See, it's like two ball teams that's right in the tournaments, and they're playing for the championship. To the team that wins the game, it's great. But to the team that loses the game, it's terrible. So this is terrible to the sinner, but this is a mighty act of God to the believers. So he's saying what the world sees as terrible, the children of God sees as a blessing or a miracle. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down. There it is again. He came down. Thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. He repeats it again. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard. Now listen to this next phrase and see if it sounds familiar to a New Testament phrase. Men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. Eye hath not seen, nor hath the ear heard. But he goes on to say, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. Now, I won't keep you long on this first point of this message that God laid on my heart to share with the church. But you've got to get the picture of what's happening to the children of God at this time. There's some controversy, if you read different commentaries, over what was actually happening in the writings of Isaiah. But most people agree with the fact that the children of God were dealing with captivity. And in the middle of their captivity, they start reflecting back. Because really, through part of the book of Isaiah, he's lamenting, and then he starts remembering, and then he starts rejoicing at what God has done and what he's going to do, and he reflects back on the hand of God. And here they are in the middle of captivity, and he says, Lord, what we really need you to do is we need you to open heaven. Open up heaven, and Lord, don't only open heaven, but come down. I'm preaching on the subject when the Lord comes down. Now we know the presence of God in one sense is everywhere. God's in everything that He made. He's in all of creation. I'm fully aware of all of that. But if you have been saved any amount of time, I want to tell you, there are those times when God comes down. Heaven opens up and the Lord steps down in our presence in a special way. And when heaven comes down, there's no doubt about it that God is in the midst. We see that happen. This church has been established for all of these years. Now, I can't testify to the things that happened before. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I've heard of how God came down before I ever came to this church. And I have no doubt about any of those. But I can't tell of others' experience. But I can tell you in these past several years that I've been associated with this church, God has come down. And can I go one point further with this message? Not meaning to offend someone, but I'm sure that it will.
I'm not too concerned about people coming into this church, looking around and saying, my, what a beautiful building. We do have a beautiful building, but that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm not too concerned about them coming in and saying, my, what tremendous talent they have in that church. And we do have great talent. I'm not too concerned about someone coming and say, my, would you look at the attendance? Would you look at the altar? All of that's great. But you know what I'd rather people say? I went by Rubyville Church and the Lord came down. We were just there gathered together, and out of nowhere heaven opened up and the Lord came down. We've seen Him come down a few times over the years. I remember years ago when Caleb was first born, when we laid him on the altar in a healing service. We had one healing service. Are you ready for this? Some of you couldn't stand it probably now. We had one healing service. It was almost midnight before we got out of church. Why? The Lord came down. That's been over 33 years ago. I remember when we were facing all of those things and we laid Him on the altar. It's not the fact that we laid Him down on the altar. It's the fact that God came down when we needed God the most. I was thinking this afternoon when Brother Ed Ballou came to hold the first revival. I played a tape to the deacons. Not a one of us knew that dear old man of God. But every one of them, when they heard it, said, how quick can you get him in? I remember when Brother Ballou came, we hadn't built one time onto the church. They were in the original sanctuary. Brother Ed Ballou come in for 5 nights. He said, all I've got is 5 nights of meeting. You know, by the end of those 5 nights, the Lord came down. Heaven opened up and the Lord came down. While people were shouting in the choir and people were rejoicing and souls were saved. He left on Friday night, and on Saturday they came in and tore the walls out of the church and started building onto the church. They didn't build on just to build a building. They built on because the Lord came down. There wasn't enough room for what God was doing. God comes down. Charlie Raglan come one time on a Sunday, and he came for Sunday and stayed almost all week. Sunday night, 8 people were saved on that Sunday night. Do you know why? The Lord came down. When the Lord comes down, things begin to happen. We've seen services in this church and down in the old church where you cannot doubt that God came down. I remember 6 paces, the Lord came down. I remember the dove has landed and the Lord came down. When CT was here on January 1, on Sunday night, the Lord came down in this place and 12 were saved. This morning, there's no doubt about it, the heavens opened up and the Lord came down. I don't know why people don't want to have church services like that. That's when church gets fun. When the Lord comes down, all of a sudden it doesn't matter who's preaching or who's singing or what's going on. The important thing is heaven has opened up and the Lord came down. When the Lord comes down, there's some special things that happen. 3 things happen at the presence of God. And that's the first point, the presence of God. I don't mean to scare you. Thank God for the presence of God. You're going to leave this place. If God only lived here, we'd be in trouble. Because you're going to need Him out there. And you'll find that God is willing to come to us when we start asking Him, Lord, would You open heaven and come down? I need You here right now. I need Your help right now. And here Isaiah gives us 3 simple things that happens when the presence of God comes. First of all, he makes it plain. When the Lord comes down, mountains melt away. The mountains will melt when the Lord comes down. Maybe you never had a mountain you couldn't climb or a mountain that you couldn't tunnel through. But I promise you, when you reach those places where the mountains seem so big that you can't figure out how you're going to get beyond it. I thought tonight, Lord, it would be so sweet to see You come down into Rubyville Church and see people that have some great mountains in their life, to see those mountains melt away at the mighty presence and power of God. Mountains are dissolved in His presence. I don't know what your mountain is. I know Billy was on this altar already praying. But I know one thing, Billy. Whatever that mountain is, if the presence of God comes down, the mountain will have to melt. I look back and see Jimmy Grimm back here tonight. He's been through one thing after another, and there's so much confusion in his diagnosis. But I know one thing, Jimmy. If the Lord opens up heaven and the Lord comes down, your mountain will melt in the presence of God. I don't care if you've got bills that you can't pay. When you get in the presence of Almighty God and God comes down, the mountains will melt away. I've faced some mountains the past few days, but I'm here to tell you, God's presence has been there and the glory of God has come down. I know this afternoon some of you just thought you were gathering around the house when you prayed, but while you were making that ring, the Lord came down inside that living room. Thank God, mountains melt away. I've got news for the enemy. If he thinks he's going to overcome the people in this church, he picked the wrong church to fight. Because we believe we have every right as a child of God to say, Lord, open up the heavens and come down. And when God comes down, the mountains will melt away. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, bless His name. I'm about to take a recess and shout it out. The mountains will melt away. Is there anybody here tonight feel like you have an impossible situation? Is there anyone here that feels like you're facing something that maybe nobody else knows about even? You've not told a single person about it. But that mountain's in front of you. I'm here to tell you, we can be like Caleb of old and say, God, give me strength that I had when I was a young man. You're greater than every mountain that is set before us. Mountains melt away. Not only do mountains melt, but also, sinners shake. He started talking about his adversaries. And then he goes on to the nations. And he said, they tremble. You know what the devil would like every church to be? A mausoleum. He'd like it to be a place where God never shows up. And God never comes down. And a 6-foot icicle is in the pulpit. And go to church and start at 9:30 sharp and end at 10:30 dull. And go week after week. But I'm telling you, when God shows up, when God comes down, when mountains start melting and the sinners cannot explain what's going on, and the only answer to all of it is God came down. There's something about that that does something to a sinner, that does something to their heart. They start to shake in the mighty power and presence of God. Am I the only one that got blessed today? But I figured there's enough presence of God in this place that an unsaved man driving by going to work, something pulled him inside the church to repent and confess Christ as his Savior on the way to work. That doesn't just happen. Do you know how many people have been saved driving up and down 139 because when they went by, they said, something touched me. I felt something like I never felt before. There's something going on in that place. Do you know what it is? Sinners start to shake. They tremble at the presence of Almighty God. Mountains melt and sinners shake. But that's not the end of the story. Verses 4 and 5, there's a group of people that see what eyes can't see and hear what ears can't hear. It's the things that God's prepared for the righteous. And when you start looking beyond all of the trouble and trials and problems that you have in life, and you start looking beyond all of that and start looking to God, and you say, God, I want you to come down. Open heaven and come down. And when he comes down, the mountains start melting. And the sinners start shaking. Then you know what happens to the righteous? It's right there in verse 5. They start rejoicing. They start rejoicing at what God is doing. Now, I'm sorry, there's nothing wrong if you're not loud and you're not emotional, but tough luck if you think I'm changing. There's a lot of things I don't know, and there's a lot of things I can't answer. But I tell you one thing I have learned, and I learned it well a long time ago, and I'll stand on the Word of God until God calls me home. I realize one thing, there is not a problem, there is not a trial, there is not a sickness, there is not a heartache, but I have the right to praise God through every bit of it. Just because you're going through troubles doesn't mean that God has forsaken you or forgotten you. He's still God. He's on His way down. That's why we just keep praising Him, because we're saying, Lord, I believe with all my heart You live and inhabit the praise of Your people. And Lord, we may not always think right, and we may not always do right, but thank God we praise right. We know where our blessings come from. We know that You are God, and beside You there's none other. We know, Lord, You're the only one that can meet our needs and help us in the time of need. So regardless of what the devil does, I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to rejoice. I say rejoice in the Lord always, and bless His holy name. Praise God. Hey, we've been through some stuff the past few weeks too. But I challenge you to name one service where I come over and humped up on that pew and put a frown on my face and said, woe is me. No, sir. No, sir. You say, well, what are you praising God for? You don't even know what's wrong with your wife. You don't know what's causing it. Because God made her. And I could have already been to a funeral. God watched over her. God gave me strength to be there at the perfect time. Any other morning, I'd have been home 15 minutes earlier. But God said, linger. I didn't even know what was going on. God said, linger around a little bit longer. God says, go ahead and praise me anyway. I'll praise Him through the pain. I'll praise Him through suffering. I'll praise Him in good days. I'll praise Him in bad days. Because He is God. And He still opens up the heavens and comes down. And He's walking with us. He's talking to us. He's blessing us. He's there every step of the journey. And we don't have to do it alone. He's there for us when God comes down. Brother Jack back there could have said this morning, I don't feel good. I'm not even going to try to get up there. I'm not going to try to sing. And Jack, we might have had to help you up. And Greg might have had to help you down. But the Lord did all the rest while you were up here. God shows up. Just the right time. You're on the verge of saying, I can't go any farther. I can't do any more. I'm facing things that I'm not sure how it's going to turn out or which way that I'm going to go. Just go ahead and praise God. Rejoice in the fact that you know the Lord. And you know that your sins are forgiven. And you're on talking terms with God. And you can say, Lord, you know everything. And I'm going to trust you, Lord. Doesn't matter if I can figure it out and trace every step along the journey. I'm just going to go ahead and trust you and believe you for all things. Stand on your word and know that that's the most solid place that I could ever be. And Lord, I'm just waiting because in a day, heaven's going to open up. And God, you're going to come down. And that's going to make all the difference when God comes down. You might have to go right to the very end of it.
And you might wonder, how am I going to do this? Sometimes your faith can be stretched, but it's still faith. Sometimes your faith can be tried, but it's still faith. Now, look right here. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. If you have to wait on something good to happen every time in your life before you praise God, you're going to miss out so many blessings in life. Because praise is not just a result of what God has done. Praise is an anticipation for what God is going to do. If we keep inviting God to come down into this place, I'll guarantee you we'll see a growth of souls being saved like we've never experienced before. See, the church world and the world in general is just like the children of Israel. They are being held captive by the devil, by the world, by flesh. And they're so discouraged. And they're absolutely at a place where they feel like we're in total disrepair. But God says, you just wait until I show up. And when I come down and start fixing things, it'll be better than it ever was before. Greater than you ever could have imagined. I'm telling you folks, God's done great things, but He wants to do even greater. But it hinges on the fact that we keep praising God and rejoicing in the fact of who He is. Not just what He does, but we understand from the teaching of His Word that He is God. High and lifted up. So tonight I ask you, do you have any rivers you think's uncrossable? Do you have any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that are impossible. And He can do what none other can do. Roger and Judy were here on the altar. In fact, they might have come two or three times today. I lost count. I know what you were praying for every time you were here. By the time I got home, it wasn't 12:30 probably. Roger called me and said, they're dismissing the baby. God comes down here. God does the work there. I close with this thought to you. God will never come anywhere that He's not invited. He won't come anywhere that He's not welcome. If you don't want Him to bless you, if you don't want Him to walk with you, He is a perfect gentleman. Some people don't like that preaching and teaching, but that'll come later. He doesn't force Himself on anybody. He doesn't make us do anything that we don't want to do. What He wants from us is our love and devotion, adoration of Him, and praise for who He is. And we don't rejoice in our problems. We don't rejoice in our circumstances. But we rejoice in our Savior because He's never failed us. And He's not going to start now. Your heads are bowed throughout this sanctuary. How many of you Christians have problems that are just so big you're wondering, how am I going to make it? What am I going to do? And you need the help of the Lord right now. And you'd say in this service tonight, Cal, there's some things that maybe others know about and nobody else knows about it. But there's some things I need God to open heaven and I need Him to come down. And I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Bless you, sis. Bless you, brother. Bless you. God bless you. Others, just raise your hand right now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. From the looks of the response down on the floor. Now, how about up in the balcony? You'd raise your hand. That's me. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Somebody else, just raise your hand. God bless you. Bless you, sis. God bless you. Again, one more time across this sanctuary. That's me, preacher. I've got some things that God needs to take care of. God bless you. Bless you, brother. I need God to come down. God bless you, sis. I'm so tired of dealing with this preacher. I need God to open heaven. And I need God to come down. I need my mountain to melt. I need to be a living testimony so that sinners can shake at the presence of God. I need to rejoice in the fact that God has never failed me one time, and He's not going to fail me now. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely on you for all things. Now, some of you here tonight, when you see God do things in people's lives, you begin to shake because you don't know the Lord. You're in your sin. Do you know what you ought to do? Just like these Christians sincerely are coming, saying, Lord, open heaven and come down. What you need to do is say, Lord, open heaven and come down and cleanse me of my sin and change my life. I'm telling you, God wants to do some things here tonight. Let's stand. They're going to sing. Folks are coming. You come right on.